Good morning. Welcome to our City of Bethel-sponsored local option Q&A call-in show on KYUK. I'm Christine Trudeau, and I'll be your host. I'm joined today by someone who is prepared to respond to your questions. He is Jedediah Smith, a local government specialist with the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office. He is joining us on the phone from Anchorage. Welcome to the show, Jed.
Good morning. Thanks, Christine.
Thanks for being here. So to join the conversation, you can call in with a question. If you're in Bethel, the number here is 907-543-5985. If you're outside of Bethel, call the toll-free number of 1-800-995-8954. If you'd like to call in with a question in Yupik, we have a translator, Julia Jimmy, standing by who will type out your question from which I'll read aloud. The full show translation into Yupik will air on Friday tomorrow at 1 p.m. So we're taking questions for the next hour on local option, which is part of a city-sponsored initiative to help the public stay informed. On October 2nd, the ballot local option will appear as Proposition 1, where Bethel residents will vote on a local option proposition to prohibit the sale of alcoholic beverages in town. An impartial summary of the ballot reads, quote, "A yes vote on the ballot question means you want the community of Bethel to fall under local option, preventing the sales of alcoholic beverages in the community of Bethel. And, quote, a no vote on this ballot question means you want the community of Bethel to remain out of local option, allowing the sales of alcoholic beverages in the community of Bethel." Bethel residents last voted to enter into local option in 2010. Then in 2015, the voters decided to allow liquor sales. Before that, all liquor sales in stores, bars, restaurants, and any place alcohol could be sold was prohibited. The local option on the ballot would return to the exact same situation, where residents would only be allowed to import a limited amount per month, which would be tracked. Jed, how much would these amounts be under this type of local option per liquor, wine, et cetera?
Thanks. It's a good question. The statute does define set limits for importation on a monthly basis. And those amounts include 10.5 liters of distilled spirits, 24 liters or more of wine, or no more than 24 liters of wine, and a half keg of malt beverage or 12 gallons in individual containers. So that would be the limit a person could import under the local option one that's being considered. And the statute also allows for the municipality to pass by ordinance limits that are lower than that or more restrictive.
Okay. And now let's see if there's anybody on the phone. Is there anybody on the phone? No? Okay. Again, if you would like to call in, join the conversation, you can call in with a question. If you're in Bethel, the number is 907-543-5985. If you're outside of Bethel, call toll-free at 1-800-995-8954. So if this ballot measure passes, how will the rules change for individuals importing liquor? How will those changes take place implementation-wise?
Well, so currently Bethel allows for the sale of alcoholic beverages through licensed establishments. If the initiative passes and voters decide to not allow the sale of alcoholic beverages through licensed establishments, those licenses would be expired 90 days after the certification of the election. So once the election results are certified, 90 days later, the current licenses that are in Bethel would be expired. Residents would still be allowed to import for personal use alcoholic beverages, But those beverages could not be traded or bartered or sold on an individual basis. And the importation limits that I had just mentioned would apply. And residents would also still be able to order alcoholic beverages through what's called the written order database from a licensed establishment outside of Bethel. So from a licensed establishment, say in Anchorage, and could have that alcoholic beverage shipped to them.
Mm-hmm. And so that would be 90 days from the, that would take effect after the October 2nd election, or would be from the 3rd?
It would be 90 days after the election results are certified. So when those election results are certified, I don't necessarily know, but typically that happens shortly after an election.
I see. Okay. So after certification. So I'm just going to remind listeners again, you're listening to a City of Bethel-sponsored local option Q&A call-in show here on KYUK. You can join the conversation by calling in with a question. If you're in Bethel, the number is 907-543-5985. If you're listening outside of Bethel, you can call toll-free at 1-800-995-8954. You can also email your questions to radio@kyuk.org. And looks like we have somebody on the line now. Ruth? Hello, Ruth.
Hey, good morning. I have a question. People that order their alcohol, do they pay taxes to Bethel? Okay, that's all. Okay.
And that question was, again, if people that order, should local option pass, do they have to pay taxes? Or are taxes paid in general, I guess, on anything being imported in? Is that something that you can speak to, Jed?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's kind of a complicated question as well. Our office does not administer the taxation of alcoholic beverages. We only administer the licensing, nor do we administer any sales tax in any municipality. So the question might be a good one for the Office of the State Assessor, but I would suggest that there already are statewide alcohol taxes, so of course those would apply. As far as a local sales tax, I think that we in the state of Alaska are still trying to figure out how any product that we order, either online or by the phone, for example, anything on Amazon.com, do you have to pay sales tax on an item that you order via Amazon? I think there is a court ruling that says yes, that local sales tax does apply, but there are challenges in administering that tax. So the short and long answer is, We don't really know yet.
Right. So I guess also if this does pass, this would be a sales tax. I guess the current sales tax right now is 15% for alcohol sales in Bethel. Should this local option pass, could that be, I guess, enforced? We're joined here by the Bethel City Clerk, Lori Strickler, who might be able to answer that question. Lori.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Very quickly, I wanted to explain that I believe it was last month the City Council passed an amendment to our sales tax and use tax laws, and if local option were to go into place, there would be a use tax at a rate of 15% applied to any alcohol that was purchased by an individual in Bethel through a store in Anchorage that would come in through the common carrier. So the stores in Anchorage would then tax the alcohol at a rate of 15% under the use tax law and then send that into the city. So, and that would only apply if we fell under local option.
So that's for orders that are coming in from here. But if somebody's like carrying it on a plane or something, Is there any kind of enforcement in place yet for that, or is there a thought yet about how that would be done?
There was a discussion, but it was there was a concern that we would not be able to track that, and that the person that was carrying the alcohol on would then have to come to City Hall and self-report that 15% tax. So there wouldn't be a really good way for the city to track that type of purchase. So at this point, it's just through common carrier through the Anchorage stores.
And also, so the certification of the election, should this pass, it would be on the 9th of October?
Yes,
that is correct. So 90 days from the 9th of October, the change would take effect then?
Right, yes.
Right. Is there anything else that you wanted to speak to while you're here for the listeners?
Well, no. I wanted this to be primarily with Jed, but since this question was posed that was a municipal-based question, I thought I'd pop in and provide an answer. I will be here if there are additional municipal questions.
Yeah, so if there's additional municipal questions around alcohol and local option, feel free to call in. Looks like we have Eula David and Bethel on the line. Hello?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Most of the listeners, besides talking too fast, someone need to translate that what you've been talking about. And I myself is against liquor store because when there was one, and it was much cheaper, so that most of the boys, especially boys, couldn't get any there's no lots of them that have this habit. Doesn't have money.
Yeah,
but
we're
when
actually
we have
we're just taking.
Ones, like,
I understand. Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
I'd like to hear someone translate the whole thing that you've been talking about.
Right. Yeah. We're just taking questions right now. But we do have a translation that will air tomorrow at 1 p.m. in Yupik. Again, that's tomorrow, Friday at 1 p.m. We will air the entire show again. That will be completely translated into Yupik. And thank you again for your call. Jed, are you still with us?
I am. I'm still here.
Okay. We're still taking calls on the phones, and anybody that wants to email in, they can email their questions to radio@kyuk.org. And let's go to a... Yes.
Uh-huh. If I could just add something to the previous discussion about how to monitor, if this passes, how alcohol is monitored coming into the community. The statute does provide... for the ability for the municipality to establish a designated site for the delivery of alcoholic beverages to individuals. So as Lori mentioned, beverages that come in on the common carrier could potentially go through this site and be tracked. But also if people brought beverages in their personal freight on a flight, the city could set up this designated site, and anything over a certain amount, and that amount is 1 liter or more of distilled spirits, 2 liters of wine, or 1 gallon of malt beverages or beer. So if anyone brought more than that in with their personal freight, it could, in theory, would be required to go through this designated site. And that would be another way for this city to track the amount of alcohol coming in. That's not required under this proposition, but it's something that the city could establish by ordinance.
I see. So this would sort of serve as a checkpoint for travelers coming in. Should a local option pass, that the city would have the option of sort of establishing that, I guess, at an airport or something.
That's correct. It's not a perfect system, but it's one more tool that the municipality could use.
Okay. And just want to remind listeners, you can call in and join the conversation with a question. If you're here in Bethel, the number is 543-5985. If you're outside of Bethel, you can call toll-free at 1-800-995-8954. So what about misdemeanors now that, will they become felonies under local option?
Well, there are a few things that would change if this initiative passes. So currently, there are a number of things that are misdemeanors that would become Class C felonies. One of those is the manufacture, sale, or offer for sale, or barter by someone who is not licensed. Currently, if someone sells alcohol without a license, that would be a Class A misdemeanor. If this initiative passes and Bethel chooses to outlaw the sale of alcohol, a person could be charged with a Class C felony. Additionally, furnishing of alcoholic beverages to a person under the age of 21 also becomes a Class C felony.
And Lori, did you have anything you wanted to add to that? Okay. And so we are going to just remind listeners, our numbers here again are 543-5985, or if you're outside of Bethel, the number is 1-800-995-8954. So on Facebook, some people have stated their concerns about the ABC board potentially further restricting the limits of Bethel into local option. So would it be possible for the state of Alaska to further limit the personal possession amounts? And if so, would that what would that process look like?
Well, it wouldn't necessarily be the state of Alaska that would set a lower limit. That limit is set in statute currently. There's a monthly limit that someone could import to a local option community where the sale is prohibited. That threshold is, I would say, fairly ample. 10.5 liters of distilled spirits, or 24 liters of wine, or 12 gallons of malt beverage per person per month. So that would be the amount that would be allowed per person if this initiative passes. The statute does allow for the municipality to set a lower amount. Of course, a lower amount could have been listed on the ballot, but I don't believe it is. But the state of Alaska would not change that amount. Our office does not have the authority to change that amount, but if the municipality, if the city of Bethel lowered that amount and made it more restrictive, the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board would honor that, and our enforcement team and the state troopers would obviously be made aware of that and would honor and recognize that and enforce that.
We have a caller, Alex in Bethel. Alex, are you there?
Yeah, good morning. My name is Alex Nick. I'm originally from Russian Mission, but I live in Bethel for the last 20 years plus years, and I do have a couple of questions.
Okay.
Yeah. While living in the Russian Mission, I was honored to serve as a mayor of a small municipality of Russian Mission. And at that time, the local option law was introduced. We've had several meetings for mayors in the state of Alaska, and some of us, we've had an opportunity to ask some questions about what are the good things and bad things about the local option law. One of the things that that I've learned at the time was that I see that it has been amended at least a couple of times, and one of the things that I've learned at the time was the law would be lenient to the people that commit the law? Is it still kind of lenient to the violators of the law?
Is that something that you can answer, Jed?
Well, I'm not sure I totally understand the question, but I believe that the law should be applied equally to everyone. And so I guess I'm not really clear
maybe,
on that.
Maybe I didn't phrase my question. I am not very good with English, but I'm going to try to try to ask the question in hopefully in a simpler question, maybe.
Yeah, if you wanted to ask the question in Yupik, we have Julia Jimmy standing by who can translate that.
No, I can speak English. Okay. Yeah. My question is, during that time, people were asking about what would benefit the community and how it would be able to enforce the law. The answer at the time was you know, we start from the very beginning. You know, the local option law goes around, like around the building, and then at the end, you know, kind of same as the start. And I think my question is, how much is this being enforced in the villages? Because I know the fact that, you know, several villages has tried to work with enforcement personnel and sometime, you know, some bootleggers, they walk away. They go to the villages and bootleg, and then they go back to where they originate from. Mm-hmm. How can that be enforced? I think the main question is, how can that be enforced by the village, that has a local option law?
That's a good question, Jed.
It's a very, very good question. And I think that it's one that needs to be addressed at all levels. It needs to be addressed at the village level. It needs to be addressed at the regional level, and it needs to be addressed at the state level. And the responsibility for enforcement can't and shouldn't fall on any one single entity. It really needs to be a collaborative partnership. We have seen the devastation that can be caused from alcohol misuse. And trying to address alcohol that comes into a community that has said we do not want alcohol to come into the community is challenging, in particularly in the further reaches in the rural parts of the state where there aren't a lot of law enforcement. And at a time in the state when revenues are dwindling, when our PFD is being cut, and when we're not hiring a lot of new troopers, that can be really challenging. The Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office has 8 enforcement officers to cover the entire state. We have over 2,000 alcohol licensees, and we now have over 200 marijuana licensees. So the workload for them is substantial. The workload for the Alaska State Troopers is, I would gather, similarly substantial. So when we have limited resources to apply to enforcing our laws, how do we do that? And I don't have an answer to that, but I think that it really requires collaboration. It requires partnerships between the villages. And I think particularly in the Kuskokwim region, when you have villages that have different types of local option, near Bethel you have some villages that have prohibited the sale, importation, and possession, and you have some communities that have only prohibited the sale, and for a while, and you currently have Bethel, which allows for the sale, these villages are very close together in proximity, and enforcing those laws is very challenging. But I think that it really requires communication and collaboration, and it requires all of the community to come together to try to enforce these laws, and it does require the state to play a role in that as well.
And Alex, did you have another question to ask too?
My second question, I am going to try to make it short so that other people will have a chance to call in. My second question relates to the bootlegging laws that is mentioned in the local option. When I read that law, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems to state that the law applies whether for bootlegging laws or enforcing bootlegging applies to not only dry villages, but it also applies to wet or dry village. So my understanding to that is that, you know, the bootlegging law, whether there's liquor stores or not in a village, rather in a community, the bootlegging law applies same as that of a dry village. My question is that, you know, city of Bethel, there could be some complications with respect to city of Bethel because the fact that either the other communities like Napaskiak and Oscarville might be pretty close to the municipal boundaries. My main question is, how can these villages that are very close, with very close boundaries, like you say, collaborate to enforce bootlegging problems? Did I make that clear?
Yes. And I'm not sure I have a good, satisfying answer, because bootlegging is a term that applies very broadly whether a community has decided to prohibit the sale of alcohol, but to allow possession and to allow people to have it shipped to them, or whether a community has decided we're not going to allow the sale or possession of alcohol, in other words, be completely dry. There seems to be a way for bootleggers to come in and provide alcohol to people who want to get it, and that is a problem. The sale in this state, the sale of alcohol without a license, is illegal, whether it's in a village that allows for possession of alcohol or whether it's in a dry village. You cannot sell alcohol if you don't have a license, and that can be prosecutable under our laws. So that applies across the board. You have to have a license to sell alcohol. Will that stop bootleggers? Probably not completely. Does it have a deterrent effect? Sometimes. As I don't need to tell anyone out there that bootleggers thrive, and it's a real problem. And how we address that, how our laws are enforced, is a constant challenge. And I think
continually requires us to communicate and collaborate, state, regional, and local partnerships.
Well, thank you so much, Alex, for calling in. And did you have one more question, or was that it?
No, I'll give somebody else a chance. Thank you very much for taking my call. I'll shut up and listen. Thank you. Oh,
thank you. Jed, why don't you remind us of what the Alaska statute states for the current violation, should what's commonly known as bootlegging occur versus if we're under local option again?
Yes. So these some of these violations are listed in different parts of the statute, and our alcohol statute is very it's not easy to understand and navigate. It's been amended over a number of years, and things get put in different places. I call it a Frankenstein law. It's just been sort of pieced together over time. But basically, there are two main areas to be concerned about. Alaska Statute 04.11.010, under a community with no local option, in other words, current Bethel's current status, the manufacture, sale, or barter of alcohol without a license is currently a Class A misdemeanor. If Bethel opts to prohibit the sale of alcohol, that would become a Class C felony. Under Alaska Statute 04.16.051, the furnishing and delivery of alcoholic beverages to a person under the age of 21 in a community that allows for the sale of alcohol is a Class A misdemeanor and becomes a Class C felony if the voters choose to prohibit the sale of alcohol. The Title IV statute and the local option law does allow for a community to not apply the Class C felony violations if they decide to prohibit the sale of alcohol. In other words, they could retain that the sale of alcohol would still be a Class A misdemeanor. But I believe that does need to be listed as part of the ballot question.
Mm-hmm. And just wanted to remind listeners, we're a little bit past our midway point right now. It's 11:35, and you're listening to a city-sponsored local option Q&A call-in show here on KYUK. You can join the conversation by calling in with a question. Here in Bethel, the number is 543-5985, or if you're outside of Bethel, you can call toll-free at 1-800-995-8954. You can also email questions to radio@kyuk.org. And just wanted to remind people, so local option is Proposition 1 on the upcoming ballot for the October 2nd election. And impartial summary of the sample ballot reads, quote, a yes vote on this ballot question means you want the community of Bethel to fall under local option preventing the sales of alcoholic beverages in the community of Bethel. And quote, a no vote on this ballot question means you want the community of Bethel to remain out of local option, allowing the sales of alcoholic beverages in the community of Bethel. And again, our numbers here for questions, if you want to call in, is 543-5985, or you can call toll-free if you're outside of Bethel at 1-800-995-8954. Some terms that I hear often that confuse people in the public, Jed, is the difference between dry, wet, damp. Could you just kind of give us a quick, like, what does that mean for people that might not be familiar with those terms?
Yeah, those are terms that aren't necessarily listed in the statute, but they're terms that we use frequently.
dry tends to mean, if a community is dry, it tends to mean that the sale, the importation, and the possession of alcohol is not allowed. In other words, no alcohol in the community. There are some very narrow exceptions to that that would allow for the use of sacramental wine for religious purposes, but otherwise, in a dry community, no alcohol is allowed. Under the damp local option, that's kind of the middle ground, that would be sort of what Bethel is contemplating right now, which would allow for possession of alcohol and the consumption of alcohol, but it would not allow for the sale. So there would not be any licenses issued in the city of Bethel, and that would be damp. So communities that are damp, you can have alcohol shipped in, and you can possess it, and you can consume it, but you cannot buy it in the city limits. And then a community that is wet is a community that has voted to allow for the sale by a licensed establishment.
And we're going to just remind people that if you're listening in the city of Bethel and you want to call in with a question, our number is 543-5985. You can also call toll-free at 1-800-995-8954. If this particular local option should not pass and somebody wanted to get enough signatures together to put another one on the ballot, could they do that in the following election?
They could. The statute is very clear about if this does pass, a petition could not be circulated to lift the local option for 2 years, for 24 months. But if this does not pass and Bethel remains what we refer to as wet, someone could go through the process of circulating another petition. And as I'm sure Lori could tell you, the process for circulating a petition and getting an initiative on the ballot does not happen overnight. So it's not that the voters would see another special election 1 month from now if this does not pass. There's a fairly rigorous process for getting an initiative on the ballot, and of course, if a petition was successfully circulated and submitted to the city clerk, the city council could choose a date to hold a special election. And a lot of times, there's a lot of literature out there that points to a local option question being better suited for a special election. In other words, no other questions on the ballot other than the local option issue. So it's an interesting question.
It looks like we have a caller. We have Fritz in Bethel. Hello, Fritz.
Hi, good morning. This is Fritz Charles. I've been living in Bethel off and on for about since 1995. But anyways, could you first clarify the 10.5 liters of spirits and the cases of beer and how many bottles of wine? I mean, I know the answer. It's just for the general public to understand how much that is.
Right. So if this should pass, what would those restriction limits be per each type of alcohol? Jed?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly more than my household drinks in a month. 10.5 liters of distilled spirits, and these apply cumulatively. In other words, it's a cumulative total, and so it's challenging to try to do the math. But 12
12 gallons of beer is roughly, let's see, I don't know.
About five cases and 750 milliliter fifths of distilled spirits.
Okay, yeah, that sounds about right. So,
And if my memory serves me right, back in 2009 or 2010, when Bethel was in local option law, the reason why the Bethel went so-called wet was because I believe the city of Bethel, the city council, was trying to restrict more more restrictions on buying alcohol and liquor and distilled spirits and so forth and whatnot, and that's why the Bethel voters voted out of local option law. If that, I think I just answered my own question, but I believe that's the reason why the Bethel voters voted out for to get on wet status, so they can have first opposed liquor stores and eating club licenses or restaurant license, so to speak. I guess I just answered my own question, thank you.
Yeah, I believe you're correct. I also was reading a news article from around the time of the last local option election, which was in 2009. There was some talk. This was back when Sarah Palin was the governor. She had proposed possibly lowering that limit that I had mentioned, the 10.5 liters of spirits, 24 liters of wine, or 12 gallons of malt beverage. That was something that she considered trying to support changing the statute to do. If this does go into effect and the voters do approve this, the city council could also lower those limits if they deem that.
Okay. I wasn't sure either, or the city council, or, like you said, Sarah Palin was thinking about lowering, cutting everything in half. That would be 7 distilled spirits down to 2 cases of beer back in 2009 or 2010. I'm not sure what in between those 2 years. But thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Fritz. And I just wanted to remind listeners, they can call in with their questions at 543-5985, or if you're outside of Bethel, you can call our toll-free number at 1-800-995-8954. And I have another question here. So if somebody is planning a big event, and I think this does play into like the number of, the limit of liters somebody can import. Let's say they're having a special occasion, though, or an event, and local option passes. Would there be a special case that somebody could apply to order more in that particular month so that they could...
Not really. The statute is fairly inflexible on that amount. So if this initiative passes and voters decide to not allow for the sale of alcoholic beverages, that per person importation limit is fairly strict. Now, I mean, we've already discussed the challenges with enforcing that and monitoring it, but there is what's called the written order database. So all of our licensed package stores that do ship to rural parts of the state are required to maintain a list of those orders. That list is not available to the public. In other words, I can't request that information to see which individuals ordered alcohol in Bethel. That's not public information. But it is, that information is kept and it is tracked to monitor the sale to particular individuals. If you were going to host an event, like, for example, a wedding reception, you wouldn't be allowed to get an exception to that importation limit. And I should further add that our laws do prohibit what are called bottle clubs, and those are social gatherings that allow people to bring their own alcohol, and that whether it's a charge. So that law is a little bit complicated and requires more of a discussion because there are exceptions to every rule and to every law, it seems. But the statute 04-16-090 is the prohibition on bottle clubs, and then there is an exception for social gatherings under 04-11-020.
Mm-hmm. And given there's a, if this passes, there would be a limit on what each person can bring in. If there is some kind of gathering that people wanted to kind of pool all of their, like, I guess the amounts, the max amounts that they could have, would they have to be, would that have to still be, would there be a, I guess, an avenue for a permitting process to have that be available at one place if they each were to pool those together?
Well, the statute only mentions the importation amount. It doesn't necessarily mean the possession amount. So that monthly importation amount of 10.5 liters of distilled spirits doesn't mean that someone can't possess at any one time more than that amount. But it does, that limit is in place because it does give enforcement officers and investigators a tool if they suspect that someone is holding that amount with the intention to sell it without a license. So there isn't any sort of necessarily any sort of permitting process that would allow people to bring their own alcohol to a gathering. There are sections of the law that do allow for catered events in communities that do allow for the sale of alcohol, but those wouldn't necessarily apply.
And I just wanted to remind listeners, we have 10 more minutes left if they want to call in. We have 10 more minutes, and again, our numbers here are 543-5985. That's if you're calling locally from Bethel. If you're outside of Bethel, you can call our toll-free number at 1-800-995-8954. Just wanted to remind listeners they can also email questions to radio@kyuk.org, and just remember to include a question into that email, and we can ask that. And then I do have another question here. So what if a person exchanges alcohol for services? Would that be considered bootlegging? For example, if somebody was to pay somebody for their work and alcohol, would that be bootlegging under local option?
Yeah, that's considered bartering, and that's not allowed under our current laws.
Okay. Looks like we do have somebody on the lines now. Mary, hello. Welcome.
Hello?
Hi. Hi, Mary. You're on.
Hi. I have a question. Before the question comes, I read in the news about alcohol. The researchers said that no matter what kind of alcohol it is, whether it's a strong alcohol or wine itself, can kill people. They even said one sip can kill, and that it wasn't good for the people to drink it. I believe that. And my second question is, could there be a lawsuit against wherever this alcohol is coming from, to them, from people around the whole area? And those are my two questions. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mary. Jed, did you want to answer either of those questions, or?
Well, I don't. I'm not sure what study you're referring to in terms of the dangers of alcohol, but I think that the dangers of alcohol are well documented. Whether one sip can kill someone, I don't know if I have information on that, but certainly the problems that alcohol can cause in a community are well documented. As far as the second question, I can't remember what was the second part of that question.
I believe it was, can somebody bring a lawsuit?
Oh, right. Well, you know, certainly, you know, there are state statutes that apply, and if a prosecutor and investigators were able to put a strong case together, someone could be prosecuted under the law. And there have also been, and I'm not as familiar with Alaska's tort laws, but there could certainly be a civil suit filed on behalf of an individual against another individual.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that is not my area of expertise.
Mm-hmm. What about homebrew? Is homebrew allowed in small amounts or select amounts under local option?
Yes. The short answer is if the community prohibits the sale but allows for the possession of alcohol, someone could, homebrew would be allowed. It's a very challenging question to determine what is the sort of maximum amount allowed. I believe there are federal regulations that allow a person to brew up to 100 gallons per year, which is a federal law. Our laws don't necessarily lay out that amount as precisely as that, but really it kind of comes down to whether an investigator has reason to believe that someone is brewing with the intention of selling or bartering that alcohol without a license. That's really kind of what it comes down to. But the short answer is yes, homebrew would be allowed under this option.
Okay. We have just 4 minutes left, so if you have a quick question you want to pop in here, just give us a call. We're at 543-5985, and if you're calling outside of Bethel, our number is 1-800-995-8954. And was there anything else that you guys wanted to, I'm sorry, we have a caller. Edward, hello.
Good morning. I have a question for that.
Hello? Ed, are you with us?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, questions are, the state thing, I know the state hospitals don't give out new medical cannabis. And is the federal working with the state of Alaska getting the medical using our hospitals. Since it's like, I've been reading on Facebook that it fights cancers, cures cancers, the CDB oil, inflammates the pain, and all those stuff. Is the state working with the federal state working with the state on those laws, since there's a, since it's legal to have an ounce of marijuana with us, and, it's a question. Or is the state officials working with our providers, our hospitals? That's what I'm trying to find out.
Okay, that's not quite related to... Marijuana is not quite related to the local option. That's just for alcohol.
I know they're going to do a local option on marijuana pretty soon. It's going to show up. Because I heard that there's going to be a dispensary in Buffalo, Alaska. And I've been hearing it on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's going to be a local option on that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not very different than alcohol,
right.
Marijuana. But the marijuana is a little different. It's addictive, I know. Alcohol is addictive, I know. Alcohol kills more natives than marijuana. That's what I read in the research. And opioid people who are on opioids get off with marijuana. That's what I read. And those are the questions that have been popping in my head.
Well, we just have a couple minutes left, Edward, and I want to thank you for the call. And Jed, if there was any quick answer you wanted to give to that, we have about a couple minutes left here.
Yeah, so I think I heard part of that question, and the alcohol laws and the marijuana laws are similar in a lot of ways, but they're also a little bit different. And one major way that they are different is that a community can hold a local option election on marijuana to prohibit the sale or to prohibit licensed marijuana facilities. But
okay.
A community cannot prohibit the possession of marijuana like they can with alcohol. So that's the big difference.
Thank you so much. And I just wanted to let everybody know we've come to the end of our show. Jedediah Smith, thank you so much for joining us.